Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I, with the Lord's help, will conclude a message, a choice of two paths. We can either choose to follow the way of the Lord, which is a walk of submission and obedience to Him and His Word, or we can choose the path of rebellion or compromise, whatever suits our carnal nature, whatever feels good to the flesh or to the natural mind. We have a choice, and our life's work will be judged by those kinds of choices that we choose to make. Beloved, anything, no matter what it is, if it takes the place of God, it becomes a sin. It becomes an idol. And man's rebellious desires in the church for self-promotion and producing man's programs and their ideas and their building programs and all the things that they do to, quote, kind of build the church, unless there is submission and holiness and worship, it decries the value of God's word and gives a message that no one can achieve what God says or have what God says we can have. In verse 31, going back now to 1 Kings, the 12th chapter, it says, Jeroboam made priests of the lowest people. This is what man does. This is what the devil wants the church to do. Those who have no business handling the word of God are allowed to produce a sort of spiritual hybrid, half godly, half carnal, and then we wonder why only a thorn bush grows. Man's religion, man-made creeds, dogmas, ecclesiastical functions, substituted for the power of God and the spirit of worship, does nothing for the heart of man. Outward conformity and parade aren't enough to meet all of its requirements. It says in that chapter that Jeroboam wouldn't have the consecrated sons of Aaron do the priestly service as they were ordained and anointed by God. He didn't want their kind. Their strict adherence to the word of God would just simply not suit his purpose. And there are multitudes today who have a form of godliness, but they deny the power of God. Many want their own will and their own ways carried out. And it might sound good, and they might be quite charismatic or charming or seductive in terms of being appealing, but the standard is the Word of God. They prefer the lowest motives as their governing principles because they know the Word of God and the light of His presence would only rebuke and reprove them. So what do we see in verses 32 and 33? It says, Jeroboam ordained a feast in the eighth month on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah, and he offered upon the altar. So did he in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he had made, and he placed in Bethel the priests of the high places which he had made. So he offered upon the altar which he had made in Bethel, the 15th day of the eighth month, even in the month which he had devised of his own heart, and ordered a feast unto the children of Israel, and he offered upon the altar and burned incense. The devil is very clever. Jeroboam set the altar, the priests, and ordained a feast like unto the feast that is in Judah. Oh, they wouldn't even notice a difference, would they? That's just what the devil wants. Unless you have the Holy Spirit, he will lead us into all truth. And he lets us know what is of God and what is not of God and what's of the flesh. That's the Holy Spirit discernment that he gives to his children. And we know, we increase that as we read and study the Word of God for ourselves. And this is what the devil wants, you know, just like, not the real thing. The whole thing was a sham that Jeroboam had set up. It was a mockery. It was a lifeless image. an imitation of the real. It was an idol. It was man's attempt to worship God. But God seeks those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. The Father seeks those. And beloved, those are the true worshipers, not those that just go through the motions, that appear to have a semblance of religiosity and godliness. But God looks at the heart, and the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. So, beloved, if you have been born again, and the Spirit of God dwells within you, and if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, hopefully, because that is yet the fullness of an expression, He brings His gifts there. He will not let you be led astray. Another voice will they not follow. Remember, that's what Jesus said about His sheep. And so those who belong to the Lord must listen to the voice of their shepherd, for He will never lead us astray. And even though we see much going on in the church world, we have to know the Word of God. We can judge accordingly by the Word of God. You know, as far as Jeroboam, he had all the outward appearance of the true, but it had no validity. It had no foundation in the sight of God. It had no authority from Him, no power to minister to the people or atone for their sins according to the Old Testament covenant of sacrifices that were ordained until the final perfect sacrifice was given in the suffering and death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The things that were done at those golden calves brought no power. It gave no ability to bring peace or hope. And in chapter 13, in verse 2, we find all that Jeroboam had done was destined to bring disappointment and the curse of God. And that's exactly what happened. An unnamed prophet came out of Judah, came to Jeroboam. He cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, "O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name," actually named the king of Judah, "and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high place that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee." And that literally happened. And so it was destined to the curse of God. And beloved, the same must be true in our lives. We have to do things God's way. Jesus said in John, the 15th chapter, verse 5, He said, "Without me, ye can do nothing." Another translation puts it like this. He says, "I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." And then if we turn over to chapter 13, verses 33 and 34, and after this whole experience where the sign is given, the altar is rent, the ashes are poured out, his hand is withered as he stretches it out against the prophet prays for him and is restored back. In verse 33 and 34 of chapter 13, it says, "After this thing, Jeroboam returned not from his evil way, but made again of the lowest of the people, priests of the high places, whomsoever would, he consecrated him, and he became one of the priests of the high places. And this thing became sin unto the house of Jeroboam, even to cut it off and to destroy it from off the face of the earth." And so, beloved, we have an example here. Yes, it's, you know, out of the Old Testament, and it's out of what happened historically, literally occurred. But application, what can we have to see it applied to our own lives. We either do it God's way or we do it our own way. And our own way does not bring blessing and satisfaction and fulfillment. And if we rebel, as Jeroboam did, against the command of the Lord, it will bring destruction and a curse from God. And so it behooves us, beloved, to walk in the fear of the Lord. And I feel just at this time, that if you so will and so desire, let us just pray for the body of Christ and for the leaders, because Jeroboam was responsible not only for his own sin, but for the error that he caused the people of Israel to walk in. It's a fearful thing to have responsibility from the Lord. And so let's pray for our leaders. Father, we pray for the leaders in the body of Christ. And Lord, we pray that you would preserve and keep them from the works of darkness that would cause them to compromise with the world, compromising the word of God, compromising your commands, compromising your ways, and saying that we need to make adjustments and be relevant for the time in which we're living. Lord, yes, culture and times may change, but your word and your will and human nature does not change. And so, Father, we pray that you would raise up pastors after your own heart. Lord, for those who are in error, we ask you to bring them back. Bring them to a revelation, a realization of the error that they may be in terms of teaching, of doctrine, of a life example, whatever it is. Father, we pray for the sake of your people, for the sake of the sheep, that they would not be scattered, that they would not be disillusioned, that they would not be hurt by examples and by instruction and by teaching that would lead them astray. Father, we pray for the Spirit of truth to guide the leadership of the body of Christ as well as your people. Lord, we are yours. And Lord, we know as we listen to you and lean upon you and let you lead us, we shall in no wise ever be led astray. Father, we thank you that Jesus said, I've not lost one that the Father has given me. And we rest in that assurance. We praise you and we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, I thank you for joining me today and this week. And it was rather a sobering message, but that's in the Word of God. And sometimes we need to hear the whole counsel of the Word of God, not just the blessings, not just the promises, but the lessons that are there for our edification and our exhortation. And because of all that, and because I love you, I share the Word of God. Thank you for joining me. I pray that you will share your prayer needs and also give our contact information. I pray for you every day, and I thank the Lord, Mayusian Partners, for your faithful partnership. Until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.